Thank you. I'm good. How you doing? Okay. Well, being a young man, I grew up in a two-parent household. My father and my stepmother. And I know for a fact that having a positive male role model growing up in your life is very very important. A lot of the murders, a lot of the profiling that you see in the media, on the streets, I think it has a lot to do with a lot of lost young brothers. I think it has a lot to do with absentee fathers in the homes, misguided families, a lack of a spiritual foundation in a home. I think it's a number of things. I think it also has a lot to do with people in general just ignoring what they see going on. You know, I'm heavily involved in acting and poetry, and I've written a few poems about one poem in particular called It Takes a Village. You know, when I see a young man acting up in the street, if I turn my back to what he's doing, you know, I consider myself part of the problem. But if I say something, I consider myself part of the solution. It don't make no good talking about, you know, oh, there's a problem here, there's a problem there, there's a problem everywhere, but we're not taking any type of action to do anything about it. You know, a lot of the senseless killing from police in general, you know, yeah, a lot of it is ridiculous. But, you know, also there's the aspect of, I think, some of it we bring it on ourselves, you know. You know, it's all in how you carry yourself. You know, if you see, if we're driving in a nice neighborhood, let's say if you live in a nice neighborhood, okay, and you see a young man walking down the street with his hat cocked and his pants sagging, you know, and he, you know, say he's smoking or something, whatever, you're not going to look at him and just think, okay, just another, but no, you're going to look at him in an offensive way. Just as if you're walking down the street and you see a skinhead with a bunch of tattoos, you're going to automatically think, you know, that's negativity. So I think, you know, number one, it's important in how we carry ourselves. If you carry yourself, you know, looking like trouble, people are going to perceive trouble. You know, if you're walking around with your pants sagging, I mean, you know, most people are going to think, okay, troublemaker. Just a lot of them trying to be cool. Some of them, you know, most of them, if you come to them in a respectful way, most of them will respond, you know, in a respectful way. I think it's all in your approach. Now, if you come at them trying to, you know, be their daddy or whatever, or if you come at them in a negative way, they're probably going to respond to you negatively. But, you know, I think human nature is generally good, but, you know, a lot of these kids also feel like they have a reputation to maintain, or they feel, you know, they have to perceive themselves as tough. But I think it's all in the approach, you know. And I talk to a lot of, you know, a lot of people afraid to even say anything to these young people And, you know, but you got to understand that, you know, if you don't say anything, fine. You know, you feel it's not your responsibility. You don't want to get involved. But let that young man steal from you or harm one of your young, then you want to get involved. But if you'd have said something beforehand, you probably wouldn't even have that problem. And I think we're all responsible for the killing that's going on. I feel like we're, you know, we shouldn't be pointing the finger here or there. I think it's all our responsibility, especially if you live in that community. Absolutely. I think it's an issue of standing together. You know, one finger can only do so much, but if you have five fingers, they form a fist. And, you know, with that fist, you have so much more of an impact. And I think, you know, but I think the problem with all standing together is everybody's looking for a leader. Nobody wants to take that leadership role. Nobody wants to stand and be bold and actually, you know, take that first step, you know. But I think if everybody had that mindset that, okay, let's go ahead and band together, not be afraid, you know, I mean, almost to the point where you have to look at it like, you know, our life depends on it. Our life depends on standing together because, I mean, these young kids are dropping by the dozen, you know. So it's like, at what point do you say, okay, let's stand firm, you know. Yeah, absolutely. The play 13 Men, which is written, directed, and produced by LaShonda Marie. It's a play called 13 Men, which will be featured at the DuSable Museum on September 13th. That's this month, 13 Men on the 13th of this month at 7 p.m. Tickets are on sale for $35 general admission and $50 for VIP. Basically, I'm the leading character of the play. It's a play, 13 men dealing with 13 issues. There are 13 men in the play, and they each have different issues. I play a character called Absentee Father. There's a player called Stripper, Dreamer, Drug Abuse, Single Father, and all of these different characters have different issues. My character is dealing with infidelity in his marriage. He's dealing with a son that he doesn't have a close relationship with that's outside of his marriage. He's dealing with you know, his issues with his friends, you know, not to give too much of the play away. And there's a player who's dealing with homosexuality. So, you know, it's basically trying to get men back into their rightful place as Christians, as leaders of their homes, as leaders in general, because, you know, men have different struggles. And what we're doing is we're trying to draw men, and especially families. It's not necessarily kid-friendly, but we're trying to draw men back into their rightful places. So this is a very powerful play. There's comedy. There's a comedian, Lady Lunchabelle. She's going to be performing. There's singing. There's poetry involved. It's a very powerful play. So it's called 13 Men, September 13th of this month at the DuSable Museum, 7 p.m. Yeah, I am on Facebook. I go by the name Calico. That's C-A-L-I-K-O, Calvin Calico Coleman. Or they can catch me at this play. I will be doing two of my poems at this play. I will also have, you know, plugins and CDs and, you know, more networking information there, too. Thank you.
I'm here. I'm fine. How are you? No problem. I'm glad to be a part. Okay, well, I'll give you a little background. I'll try to, you know, sum it up. Well, back when I was in college, I mean, 4 years ago, I was, you know, total black power, you know, very uplifting. But I had kind of got discouraged from it because, you know, our people are kind of hard when it comes to somebody trying to change something, you know, bring positivity to the neighborhood. People, you know, our people are not really feeling that. They don't really grasp onto that. So I kind of lost my drive for it. Then I picked it back up around the time of the Trayvon Martin case. And, you know, it never sat well with me. And I was just trying to figure out, you know, what is it that we need to do collectively as a race to, you know, stop all of this that's going on. So I started the Black Power Group, which is not going to be named Black Power. I'm still looking for a name. I'm still in the building, you know, the fundamentals of it. I'm still building a foundation on it. But it's not going to be Black Power, but for now on Facebook it's called Black Power. And I just want to try to bring unity back into the community. And the only way I feel like we're going to, you know, unify is if people open their mind. And I'm lost my train of thought, but open their mind to, you know, the change and read up on stuff and figure out what's going on, because right now we're just dying off as a race, period. And we're doing it to ourselves. Exactly. Okay, I feel like with our youth, just like with the group, I want to be, you know, active in those type of communities, the urban, you know, areas. But I feel like it actually starts at home, because we can come and we can bring positive things to them, have them come out once a month, you know, give them different activities, different outlets, you know, see that there is a different way. Let them actually see, you know, professional black people doing, you know, big things. But I feel like once they leave there, you know, from the mentoring, they have to go home. They have to go back into their environment. So I feel like it needs to be some type of plan or form of attack to get into the mind of the parents, because ultimately it starts with the caregiver. Because they have to go home. I mean, we can show them that it's a different way, but the stuff that they're around every day, you know, that has to change. That has to change. Yeah, you're right, but honestly, I feel like they'll be easier. I really feel like they'll be easier because there's no other influence in their life. You know, and if I'm showing you a better way, and I'm showing you this is the way, and I'm showing you, you know, and I'm actively in your life, I'm not talking about, you know, start something and then a month later or weeks later, okay, now they have nobody. The whole group has fell apart. You know, it's, you know, nothing that they can look up to. When they don't have any other influence going on, I feel like it's easier to get to those people, to those kids, excuse me. I think it's easier. It'll be easier to, you know, shape them or, you know, mold them. But the mentality, like, it's the quote-unquote urban hood mentality that has to be broken. Oh, okay. Well, outside of the group, I've actually, the 9-year-old kid who got, you know, gunned down last week, his funeral was Saturday. So we actually came together as a group and sent flowers over there to the mom. I really wanted to go to the funeral, but I had my own personal issues going on. But other than that, I'm keeping track of everything, every crime that happens in Chicago. If it's black on black, if it's police on black, whatever, I'm keeping track of that and going in and trying to figure out, you know, what's going on, how can this get solved, you know, just trying to stay active in everything that's going on. I mean, it's hard because I'm kind of like doing it by myself, but, you know, I'm going to get there. I don't have a set plan of attack, but I'm working it out. Slowly but surely. I would just need more people that are willing to be active. I have a lot of people that, you know, they, you know, tell me things and, you know, they're behind it, but they're pretty much behind it, you know, like on a computer or, you know, behind the scenes. I need people to actually go out with me, get into the field, you know, do the footwork and make this happen. I'm ready. I'm ready. I had a conversation with a friend, and, you know, he's like, well, things like this, and I want to say this also. I'm a human being before I'm anything, so I have a certain level of humanity. So I'm not in it trying to have, like, a race war or to, you know, be, you know, I don't want to say ignorant, but just be out there wilding out, you know, looting and, you know, acting crazy. I'm not out to do that. All I want to do is unify our people so we can be stronger as a race. That's all. No problem. Thank you. All right.
We have to work on it. We have to work on it.
Yes. Oh, it's going good. It's going good. Thanks for having me. Well, the organization, reorganization is an acronym for Reclaim AU. And what we really want to do is we want to get out to the community and do just that, reclaim the youth. We want to reclaim the youth by showing positivity in the community. We want to provide them with outlets. We want to provide them with investment strategies. We want to provide them with things to do, such as going to the Chicago Sky women's basketball, sometimes the NBA games. We've had picnics. But the main goal of Ray is to, it's a scholarship organization as well. And what we want to do is we want to reach back into the community that is affected by violence, is affected by, youth being, shot, killed, taken from their family, or just don't have any way to look for a role model. I am the chairman of what's called the Youth Advisory Committee, and that what that portion of RAE does is speak directly to the youth in certain age brackets. There is like 11 to 15, and 15 to 21, just I'm trying to expand that a little greater. And what we do is we just outreach. We stay in the youth ear. We talk to them via social media. We have events that they can come to. We have picnic, banquet. We have a watch and manners class where the youth are starting to learn manners again, chivalry. I mean, think about it. When's the last time you've seen somebody 14 or 15 out on the first date, open the door for a young lady? Do they know what words to use when they're out? If you begin to teach the youth some of these things to help mature them, they can take all of that energy that they're putting out to the street into something positive, and that's the main objective of REC. The mindset of the youth, I mean, honestly, it's some good kids out here. A lot of them feel like nobody cares. They feel like that people are just kind of going their own way and leaving them to raise themselves. And they're not blaming their parents. I believe that they feel like the community is that way. I feel like they have a lot of just pent-up energy that's just misdirected. They want somebody to take them under their wing and show them some things. I really think they're starting to get bored with traditional style of doing things. They're actually really smart, but we treat them like they're not that smart. And when I say we, I mean the older generation. We tend to treat them like they're not that smart. And that's because a lot of times we don't understand their creativity. We don't understand the communication style. And I just feel like that they're looking for a lifeline, somebody out there to help direct them and guide them. And that's what I'm hearing from all the youth out there, that the older generation is just kind of leaving us to die. That's a tough one. I think that as a young person, bridging that gap with your parents is a little bit more difficult than parents trying to bridge that gap. You, But I would say that what we should do as young adults is try to meet in the middle somewhere. Understand that your parents are not accustomed to reading a text message all the time, and you guys are accustomed to reading a text message. We all need to come together and kind of get a common way of communicating and interacting. I think we as older people, we have to understand that you communicate a lot different than what we did. We didn't have cyberbullying. There was no such thing. A bully had to be tough and big and really able to knock me out in order to be a bully. Now, I mean, it could be a little pipsqueak behind a computer and bully somebody. We didn't have that when we were younger. So it takes the adults to say, you know what, this is a whole different time, it's a whole different era, and to reach out and try to understand that. But it also takes the youth to kind of mature a little bit, say, you know what, I understand that I communicate different than my parents, and instead of getting on social media and blasting my parents out to a group of people who have not been through anything, who may be, let's say that you're 19 or 25, and something goes on in your life, you get on social media, well, more than likely, you're speaking to 19 to 25-year-olds, and they're going through the same thing, and they can't help get you out of it. Instead of doing that, what you should do is go to your parents or go to somebody who has kind of been through it that you trust. And once that begins to happen, we can bridge the gap of communication because the youth are reaching out on the platform that the adults can understand, and that will start to yield the adults to reach out to the youth on a platform that they can understand. So it's just going to take some social maturity as a whole to really bridge the gap.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that you're absolutely right. We need to continue to grow the community of organizations that actually reach out so that that mindset continues. That means that we honestly need to form organizations for better parents. Let me, as a 35-year-old, own this for a minute. And what we do as parents nowadays, and I'm probably not guilty of it because I'm not 50 and I don't have a 20-year-old, but what I'm seeing that the parents of today that have a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, or these kids that are out terrorizing the neighborhood, what we're doing is we're leaving those kids to raise themselves. We're leaving those kids to an organization like Ray or Big Brother Big Sister because they're supposed to do it. Because I'm so busy running the rat race trying to get mine, right? I was 16 when I had my child, but now I'm 26, and my child is 10. I'm still trying to get on in life. We really need to start an organization that can help parents that are 20 to maybe 30, 35 to continue to instill these things. Big Mama's raising them now. But what happens when Big Mama passes on? Little Mama or the real mom is not even equipped herself to instill any of the morals or, as you just put it, to reiterate some of the concepts that we're teaching their children in an organization like Big Brother, Big Sister or Ray of Illinois or Youth Advisory Council. So what needs to happen, I think the best thing, or one of the biggest things that we can do to help change the community is actually, I don't want to call it parenting classes, but an organization that opens it up to young parents to give them them some of the same concepts that we're trying to give their children so that when it goes home, just like homework, if you're not good in math and your parents aren't good at math, over for you. Well, think about this. If your mom's not good at life and you're in an environment that you're probably not going to be good in life, well, it's over for you. So how do you change that? What you have to do is, just like your homework, you got to go get a tutor. And I think an organization that provides, like, a tutor to the parent will really help to really bridge it, to really help to reiterate and reinforce these things that are going home. Because we can do everything forever and ever and ever. Your coach, you said you play sports. Your coach could motivate you. Your coach could say, hey, you know what? You're going to be great. You got leadership beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you're going to be awesome one day. But when you go home and your mother doesn't understand how to reinforce that, and she says, you ain't going to be enough. You ladies just sitting there watching scandal all day. Well, what is that doing to your psyche, and who are you going to follow? And I think the choice that's being made is that they're following the parent that's downing them more often than the coach. Because you might follow the coach, but what about all the other 40 or 50 kids that were on that team? What about, you know, the thug on the corner who, you know, he rose up in his, you know, what we got now, A7 or in his Escalade, and he got something. And so I'm going to follow him because coach, he ain't doing nothing with his life. He's just a coach. And so I think we need something like that put in place as a society. I mean, I think that is probably the easiest way to fix the problem. Sorry for getting long with it there, but I'm happy. Oh, well, we definitely look forward to having you. You can get involved with the Ray organization. You can actually find us on Facebook, and that's just Ray, R-A-Y, Reclaim the Youth, or anybody who is interested wants to speak with me to get on the Youth Advisory Council can reach out to just myself at KevinFerguson2009@Hotmail, and then, you know, we'll just link up from there.
Thank you.